Welcome into Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Petter Davis, alongside Matt Gallatson of Texas Longhorns on SI and Ole Miss alumnus. He is ready for the game today. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. And of course, over here on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. And Matt, I know I can already feel it from you. I can feel it from you in a different city. I can feel the nervous tension that is coming, having a ginormous game tonight.
Man, I've been trying not to think about it too much today, but it's here, man. It's, you know, 2.5 hours from kickoff, so it's real. I guess we're gonna make our pick later in the show. So yeah. We'll talk about it more then, but talk about goosebumps, man. This is not only do I have goosebumps because, you know, they could lose, but I also told one of my buddies that if they made it to the championship that I would go with him, and I really don't want to spend like $5,000 for a nosebleed ticket. Like I'm a sports writer. I probably can't afford that. Yes. So That seems kind of outrageous, but we'll see how it goes. I probably still won't go even if they make it. But yes, Naman, I am an Ole Miss alum. I went to Ole Miss from 2005 to was supposed to be 2009, but wasn't exactly 2009. But we did graduate, and I've been an Ole Miss fan for 21 years now. And my sister went there too. She was there in the 90s, so I've always had a love for Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, it's a good reason to be a fan of them tonight. And I get that you know hating on Lane Kiffin will be there. I have no ties to Miami either, so I'm not a huge Mario Cristobal or Carson Beck guy either. So, I'll be rooting for my man Matt. So we'll be rooting for Ole Miss in this one because there's no one else really left in the playoffs that I have any sort of remote ties to or anything else. So.
I mean, who's more likable in the playoff right now than Ole Miss that's left?
Nobody. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't think so. It's funny because I there's people that keep saying Indiana. I think Big Ten believes Indiana is very likable because they're Big Ten people. And so they're like, Indiana is like this upstart. I mean, it's like, yeah, but they're still spending money too. They're doing the same thing as everybody else. And Kurt Cignetti did a great job putting that team together. I don't want to diminish he did it. I still will say he's a coward for canceling the Virginia game. That's a cowardly act. I don't like it, but it's worked out so far for him. So we'll see that one tomorrow night. But yeah, we get the Miami Ole Miss game tonight. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit as we go in and break that down a little bit more. And Matt gives you all the insights he has of following this team all year long. And then as a fan, not just as a sports writer, but as a fan, and get us ready for Miami Ole Miss. We'll also make our picks there because we got to make that pick. We got to put that one on the pick. So we'll do that one. But a lot to get into for the portal today. What's happening in college sports still and everything that's surrounding that. Plenty to get into there. Got to talk some NFL as well as we're almost to playoff and wild card weekend in the NFL. So we'll get into all of that good stuff as we get in. Huge trade or not. I won't even say huge trade. There was a trade in the NBA. It feels like it should have been bigger, but there was a trade in the NBA. So we'll talk about that a little bit if we have time at the end of the show. But we did see some portal action, good and bad, today for Texas. Zena Umiazulu is in the portal or is headed to the portal. Jamie French is headed to the portal. This is both those guys were maybes. We kind of thought maybe they would go, maybe they would come back. Their playing time was not at any point guaranteed next season. So, you know, and the fact that Jamie French wasn't really still a part of the Citrus Bowl plans maybe helped in there. The number clearly probably wasn't right for what they wanted anyway. That is a thing we consistently have been hearing for a lot of these younger guys, that the number is quite there. I want to get into that in a minute, but we see both of them go. It's Matt. Now we're looking at a world for depth for Texas is really, really starting to wear thin in a lot of places where you're still going to go in and bring in, you know, transfers, and we'll get in the guys they just got today to help it out. There's starting to be much more attrition than we thought was going to be before the portal opened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that either of these were totally surprising. I think that, you know, Texas might get some good news at wide receiver here in the next couple of days. I think that French, you can, like, he's obviously very talented. When I wrote my commitment story about him last year, I was very, very excited about him. Like, one of the most skilled players at wide receiver in terms of body control and catch radius and ability to high point the football and all those different things that was in that class. I don't think he really had a path to competing next year any more than he was going to compete this past year because of the names that they could bring in, or because there were people that were passing him on the depth chart. Texas does have a lot of talent in that wide receiver room still, even without Parker Livingston and Jamie French. Does it hurt? Yeah, because anytime you bring in a five-star recruit, you want to watch that kid play football and you want to see him be good. And I think that the transfer portal has sort of ruined college football in that way to a certain degree. Like, there's a lot of younger players that are leaving programs that, you know, probably have no business playing or leaving their programs. They're just chasing the money or chasing more opportunity because they feel like they need to get on the field right now or whatever the case may be. So, Texas still has Kalik Lockett. They still have Ryan Wingo. Jermaine Bishop's coming in. Emmett Mosley's still there. Like I said, there's probably going to be some good news here in the next couple days about wide receivers. So not necessarily the biggest loss in the world. You still kind of hate to see it.
Don't forget Dalen McCutchen and Ryan Niblett are still there as well.
Yeah, and they're still there as well. I love Dalen McCutchen. I think he's going to be great once he learns how to catch the football. And then Zena Yemeazulu, obviously, you know, edge rusher, premium position. His brother just left, so it's not hugely surprising to see him leave. I've heard the place that he, one of the places that he's heavily considering, and that's really going to piss off Texas fans. It's not Oklahoma. So, you know, that is what it is. He was a solid depth piece. You got young talent coming in. You got young talent on the roster. You got visitors coming in at the position, so I think they'll be fine there as well. It's just, there's so many more exits than there are in, you know, wins right now that it seems like the roster is kind of falling apart. But at the end of the day, everything will balance out and it'll be just fine.
No, and I think that this is depth stuff. This isn't necessarily anything other than you're like, you hate to see it because, you know, what we know of what championship rosters were for so long was you have depth. You build depth, and that's how you build a dynasty, and how you build a consistent contender is depth. And this is not a singular problem at Texas. This is across the board. You recruit well, and then it's just really hard to keep everybody in. On the positive side of that, we did see Relique Brown has signed, committed to Texas. So there is the running back from Arizona State headed in. And then a big one in Zion Williams, the D tackle from Louisiana State University, has come in and committed as well. So two really good gets that you want to get there. You know, even out a little bit, I think Relique Brown wouldn't have covered as much of today's as being a little bit happier, but the Zion Williams helps. It helps with it being a little bit happier and seeing them close some of these deals. And really on the defensive end at some positions, they've made some really good signings. It just hasn't been at the flashy positions that we want to see. And so you get a flashy guy, and I don't know if there's many guys flashier than Relique Brown in the run game.
Yeah, and I've been, you know, kind of hinting that he was going to commit. It felt like once Jabbar Jalouk went to visit him, and then he made the return trip to Austin, that if he left Austin without, you know, signing on the dotted line or committing or whatever you want to call it, it would have been a major failure. They locked him in. You know, this guy is electric in terms of speed. I comped him to Jaden Blue, I believe it was yesterday. He's not necessarily quite as fast as Jaden Blue. That'd be really hard to do, is to be as fast as Jaden Blue. There aren't many people in the sport of football, college or pro, who are as fast as Jaden Blue, but he's got elite breakaway speed. He's a little bit bigger and a little bit tougher in between the tackles than he gets credit for. He holds onto the football. He's a dynamic threat out of the backfield. He'll be utilized really well in the outside zone rushing attack that Texas likes to do. And, you know, I think it was, I can't remember who posted this on Twitter, but the play that Trey Wisner had against A&M where it was an outside zone run and then he cut up the field and he went for like a 37-yard run or like 40-yard run or whatever it was in the second half of that football game. If Relique Brown is carrying the football in that scenario, that's probably a touchdown. That's the kind of breakaway speed that this guy has. So I know that the numbers against every team that he played weren't outstanding. He had some really, really big games, and he had some games where he was kind of average. Here's the thing also about Arizona State. They didn't have their number one wide receiver the entire season for the most part. Like, he was out for a lot of the season, particularly in some of those games where Relique Brown didn't have eye-popping stats. Their quarterback, Sam Leavitt, was also not in every football game, and he didn't play particularly well through some of these games either. It was a very different Arizona State football team than it was 2 years ago when Texas played them in the college football playoff and Cam Scatabu was running wild on everybody. That was a more complete unit. This team was a little bit different. And I mean, he was ranked the number three running back in the transfer portal for a reason. He's a really, really big get. He's going to add a lot to this football team in terms of game breaking ability and ability to score and change the game and flip the field with big runs. And I'm going to pull up a stat for you guys here in a minute that kind of proves to you what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's we did see Isaiah Horton from Alabama's in the portal. That's another name of a guy that if they're looking for wide receiver and maybe miss out on somebody else, then there's a name that you could go with as well, a really good player. So lots of names you could find there. But yeah, I think when you look at Relique Brown, the piece of the puzzle is he is a piece of the puzzle. He is not the guy that you would want to sign as your first running back, but a really, really good second back. And so I think they're still looking for another back out there. Keep in mind, they you know, we don't know where they're at on Christian Clark, but they wanted to keep him. Michael Terry, we know they've, you know, as far as we know, has not entered the portal yet. I think they do have some other options of guys they want to go get. But Relique Brown, I think the best way you described it is, you know, you can use him in that Jaden Blue way, where Jaden Blue worked really, really well with a complement of other players. You just have to find all those other pieces. Mm-hmm. And then once you find all those other pieces, then he becomes a really dynamic player for you. And I mean, what's Sark's favorite type of play, Matt? Explosive mm-hmm. plays. And that is what that guy specializes in.
Yeah. And here's the stat leading into that I was going to talk about, Patrick. Jeff Ketchum tweeted this out today, and it really opened my eyes as to what this guy can do. Trey Wisner's longest carries in every game this season, 13 yards, 6 yards, 37 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards, 13 yards, 16 yards, 12 yards, and 48 yards. That one was against A&M. Here are Relique Brown's 19, 26, 75, 14, 35, 14, 22, 23, 26, 6, 88, and 22. He's going for an explosive carry in almost every single football game that he plays, regardless of the opponent. That is impressive. You can't even really say that about Jaden Blue either. Like, and you also had to worry about the fumble stuff with Jaden Blue. The breakaway numbers with Relique Brown yesterday in comparison to Jaden Blue. Almost 50% of his runs are breakaway runs, which means they go for 15 yards on plays that are not designed to go 15 yards or more.
Yeah.
So, really, really explosive guy that's going to be a major weapon if he's utilized correctly, which I expect he will be.
Yeah, and that's the question, and that's where it sits, is because, like, we can look at Trey Wisner's numbers last year and be like, Relique Brown would have had 350, 400 yards in Texas offense last year, because no one could run on that offense last year. Like, it was just the run game was bad last year. The offensive line wasn't holding anybody. There was no holes. It was really hard to get anything going. So I don't know if he would have been able to be great in that offense last year either. I think that there is a potential used correctly if you put him in the right spaces. We know what he can do. And yeah, Randy, it's against baseball defenses. So you have to look at it and go, I don't expect him to be a 1,000-yard back for Texas next year, but I do expect him to have some really big plays. And that was something that was really lacking for Texas for most of the season. And that's because there's no O-line at the end of the day, but you want to add some more explosive players back into that, because Ryan Wingo is really probably your best explosive play guy down the stretch, because you could get Ryan Wingo the ball and let him just run, and he could run through guys and he could get away from guys, and he had elusiveness and speed and explosiveness, all those things you wanted. And you didn't have that with Trey Wisner. He's not that kind of player. He's better through the tackles player than Relique Brown is, but he's not a better in that sense of let's get him out there, run him to the outside, and he could go get us 25 yards. He's not that guy. And that is something that Relique Brown adds to there. I need to go back and see what his pass pro is, because that's another piece of, if you want to play in Texas and you want to be a part of it, you kind of have to look at his pass pro a little bit more, because he is a little bit smaller of a guy. We've seen smaller guys be decent at pass pro before, but that is another piece you kind of want to make sure you're not behind the eight ball on, or else you get on the field less. We've seen that with tons of running backs for Texas that everybody liked, and then you're like, why are they not in the game? They're not protecting the quarterback, and that's going to get you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to do some research on his pass pro. I don't want everybody to automatically assume because a guy played in the Big 12, that means that he can't compete in the SEC.
No, it doesn't.
Like Randy, I get it was against Big 12 defenses. That's part of it. Yeah, sure, but also you have to consider the fact that he has the traits that you're looking for. You know, he's shifty, he's athletic, he's explosive, he's fast. He runs through tackles better than, you know, people give him credit for. I've seen him compared to James Cook with the Buffalo Bills, if that gives you any idea of the kind of back that this guy is. He can kind of do everything. And it's not even really fair to call him a boutique back either. Like I fully expect Texas to bring in a big bruiser, bell cow type running back at some point before the portal closes. But that doesn't mean that this guy can't, you know, be a major part of what you're doing running the football next season. So I think a little bit of that gets lost in the sauce when you talk about what, you know, what power conference they play in. Because there's good defenses in the Big 12. Like, there just is. Look at Texas Tech. Like, they had a really, really good defense. And there are some other teams in there, too, that have a lot of talent. I mean, Texas is taking another Big 12 visitor right now, or maybe he was there yesterday. It was either yesterday or today. Wendell Gregory, one of the best pass rushers in the Big 12. It's a Big 12 defender. Does that mean he's not going to be able to do it in the SEC? No. So, yeah, and Arizona State was the only team that beat Texas Tech in the regular season, by the way. good shout out there, Israel. But yeah, great stuff. Like I think it's a really big pickup. He's ranked number 3 in the portal at running back for a reason.
No, exactly. Like there's a ton of, if you're talking about what's in the portal and what you need and what you are looking for out of that, I think Matt, you put it best, is this is something you don't have on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could believe Christian Clark may be a little bit more in the line of a brute runner, or Michael Terry might be in the line of a bit more of a brute runner. If you can turn him into that, you do not have a guy that is massively explosive. So when you're adding a piece, you can say he's one of the best available and he fills something that we do not have on this roster, where while we might want to upgrade at that position, we're upgrading and now we're adding where we didn't. Mm-hmm. It's not even an upgrade. It's an add. It's a complete add to a minus. There was a zero there before. So that's the positive you look there. Then we look over at Zion Williams and you look at what Will Muschamp is starting to put together in that, on that defense. And yes, linebacker is still a major question. You still probably want to add another piece into that secondary. But that defensive line is coming together very nicely, that the competition is still going to be very elite on that defensive line as you're trying to put some stuff together and got some good young talent that is going to be fighting to get on the field. And when they get on, they're fighting to make a statement. So in a position where we talk about there's less and less depth on Texas next season, most likely because of how many people are leaving. It's just attrition. It's hard to replace all of those guys. The fact is, a position that you need a lot of attrition and a lot of depth on is that defensive line, because you are going to rotate a ton. You are going to switch that, and Texas is going to maintain having one of the deeper defensive lines in the SEC.
Yeah, and one of the big parts of what Will Muschamp likes to do on defense is have a very traditional, big, space-eating nose tackle that can hold up at the line and occupy gaps and clear things up for linebackers and all those kinds of things. He got one of those guys with Ian Jafar. There was only one other player really on the roster who fit that mold to a T, and it was Josiah Sharma. And now today you get Dion Williams. He's young. He's going to have at least three years of eligibility. He might have 4 years of eligibility left after this season. 350-pound big brute defensive tackle from Lufkin, Texas. It's a great addition. He's going to be the future of that position alongside Josiah Sharma going forward. He's a really, really big get. And, you know, everything is really coming together on that defensive front. You probably want to add another edge rusher now that Zini Meazulu's gone. And especially one that might have a little bit more time with the roster, maybe a couple of years of eligibility, since Colin Simmons is likely probably not going to be back for a senior season after next year.
No, and in all reality, he's one of those guys you're like, I don't want you back, because if you come back, it means you didn't have the season we want you to have.
Yeah, exactly.
We want you to go out there and set the sack record at Texas. We want you to go out there and do everything crazy you can do and to just be elite. And be a top three pick in the draft next year. That's what we want from you. So if you're coming back, something went wrong.
Yeah, there's a very good possibility that Texas could have the number one and number two picks in next year's NFL draft if everything goes the way that it should go with Arch Manning and Colin Simmons. So
we know we saw Dan Orlovsky say yesterday or the day before when he was asked, I believe on Dan Patrick, if Arch came out, where would he be? And he's like, overwhelming number one, not even a question.
Yeah, and that's true.
He went through, they're like, he's still the overwhelming number one at first overall pick this season, if you were to go.
Yeah, it's not even close. Too bad that, you know, too bad for the Raiders and the Giants, he's not going to do it. But here we are. And it's, you feel pretty good about those two guys. The linebacker thing is going to work itself out. They're probably going to be at least two or three guys that they bring in, I would imagine. I don't think the jury is out on Elijah Barnes returning. There was reports that came out last night that Will Muschamp that Will Muschamp met with him and they had a long discussion and things seem to have settled themselves. He has not yet withdrawn from the portal, but it seems to be trending in that direction. So hopefully that thing works itself out and he's back in the fold. Even if he is, you still need to bring in a couple guys. And there are guys out there that are going to be up for that. And then obviously offensive line is still a major need. And we can talk about that too.
And Jesse, no, I do not think Sark's going to the NFL, even though there's way too many job openings right now. I do not think that, but the reason why they're spending money differently, cause this is a piece I kept talking to people about and being like, what's so different about this year? Cause this year feels really different. And what you finally get down to is, oh, because this is when we're finally like players that with revenue sharing are eligible to be in the portal now. Players who have only known revenue sharing are able to be in the portal. And the difference of revenue sharing, ways it was explained to me of some of the things that could happen was they would go out to a high school senior and then they can't tell you NIL. I mean, they do, but they can't, right? Those lines of the teams are not supposed to be discussing NIL stuff and so coaches are not. So there's lines between all that stuff, but they can discuss revenue sharing. And a lot of these players were told that the revenue sharing would be, here's this thing. Here's your revenue that we're giving you in year one, which is a lot to get you to come in. And the goal is in year two, if you get playing time, you will then get NIL. And if you get NIL, it will supplant what we were paying you in the transfer portal. So we're in the revenue sharing, and we can go get other freshmen with revenue sharing, and we get transfers with revenue sharing, and we don't have to keep paying you out of this much smaller pot how much we can give you, because we can only give you what it's like 16 million, something like that, 15, 16, that's probably going to football. something around that number, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, but a number around that of what you're going for your whole 85 scholarship players. So you only have, because it's $24 million, I think, for the entire school. That includes all sports. So you're chipping away at it from different places. So your revenue sharing is one piece. You're able to tell them this. Now these guys come up and they go, you're going to be playing next year. All of that's great, but we have to knock your revenue sharing down. Doesn't mean you're going to make less money. It means you're going to transfer over to getting some NIL stuff now. And you'll be able to get NIL money for doing commercials and doing appearances and, you know, car sponsorships and whatever else. You can do that because you're going to be on the field for us now. You're not just coming in. You've now met all these boosters and donors. You've met all the people who own every car dealership. They know you now. You've got a year in. So this number was always supposed to go down, always, because we cannot afford to keep going up and up and up and up and up. We'll just run out of money. It's not like the NFL, where the NFL continues to have a larger salary cap every season. Salary cap's not expanding like that in college sports. So when the kids get the message, they hear in their head the part they want to hear, or maybe they don't, and maybe it's not explained to them properly. Maybe it's their parents. Maybe there's a lot of reasons. But some of them believe, well, if I do well enough, I will continue to make what I'm making this year. Then I will get NIL on top of that, and they'll give me more revenue sharing. So if I'm making $750,000 to come to Texas my freshman season, this is a hypothetical number. If I'm making $750,000, then I'm supposed to make next year, if I'm playing now, because I wasn't even playing that year, I could make upwards of $1 million. And then in NIL, I can make $1 million. I could make $2 million next year. Where in Texas' brain, they go, you didn't play and made $750,000. Next year, you'll get NIL and you will make $750,000 to $800,000. Maybe if you play well, up to $1 million, because you'll get more and more sponsorships. But we're replacing it revenue sharing with NIL money. So it's a complex thing that if the parents, kids, everyone's not on board with this happening, and it's really hard to explain the hard parts of this in a sales pitch, because you also really want them to recruit. So you're telling them it, but you're not necessarily driving home the point. Just to let you know, in a year, this number will not be the same. And we're going to find a way to get you the NIL, but I can't tell you right now, here's all this extra money. So the initial reaction is a lot of these kids or parents or families or whatever get upset when they get told you're not guaranteed playing time and the revenue share is going down, but we expect you to be on the field next year and open up some NIL opportunities for you. It's an initial shock because the way you're living at 18, 19 years old, when you're expecting to make at least $500,000 or at least six figures, I'll even say, every single year for the rest of your life. And so you spend money like it's going out of style, then it's a real big sticker shock on the flip side of that. So that leads to a lot of younger people now in the portal, because either they're saying, man, I don't like this. I don't like being told that I'm getting my revenue share is dropping, even though I think I'm worth the same revenue share, even though my NIL may go up. That's not guaranteed to me. That's not in writing. So I'm not happy about that. Or they go on the flip of that and go, screw that. If I go in the portal, I get revenue share again, because they're trying to get me out of the portal. So if I'm making this here, I can go get that or more somewhere else, and I don't even have to screw around with trying to get NIL. And I'll get on the playing field and I'll get NIL too, but I'll still make sure my bottom dollar, my downside guarantee, what I'm going to make at the end of the year, no matter what, is this number. And so there's two sides to it, but it's a wildly different landscape than it was a couple of years ago, where when freshmen came in, they were promised NIL, but that was such a shady world too, where people were getting promised a lot of things that were maybe coming through and maybe not. And if you didn't play, your NIL went down. And so we saw kids transferring because of NIL, because they were lied to, or they didn't follow through, whatever the reason, they didn't get the NIL that they thought they were going to get. So it's a shift in a landscape where we've kind of already known the portal, but why it feels different this year is because of that revenue share, and that we have a class of kids now that have come up with the revenue share, and it's just a different, and also every blue blood's trying to figure it out too, because this is brand new stuff. So they don't know how to make that budget fit the way they want it to fit. So that is a large piece of why this is such a different landscape right now, is that revenue share versus NIL and the plan that that teams had in mind that maybe the families and the young adults did not have in mind. And that landscape is causing a lot of younger players to hit the portal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's really affecting, in my opinion, what college football is as a sport, as we've all grown to know and love it. Because those kinds of things are affecting whether or not you get to watch a young, exciting player grow within your program and become a fan favorite. Like, how are we ever going to see a Jordan Shipley again at a skill position, who comes in as a really highly rated recruit and then maybe doesn't get on the field as a true freshman, but you know, everybody's excited
Arch
about
Manning.
Him. And he,
Arch Manning.
That's a quarterback. But that's not a skill position.
Yeah. I think we will, but not definitely not the same rate.
Yes. It is going to be at a remarkably lower rate. And that's really, really unfortunate. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Texas has to make really, really hard decisions on exciting young players based on what they want to do in the portal and the players that are available to them, because if they don't do it, then they're going to fall behind.
Yes.
And that's kind of what sucks about it. But I mean, listen, I think Patrick put it really well. Like, NIL and revenue sharing are two completely different things.
Yes.
And Texas may be being a little bit more conservative on the revenue sharing front. I don't think they're being conservative on the NIL front. Like, I heard reports that the money that they offered to the Michigan offensive lineman, for example, was far above what Michigan offered them. But they chose to go back to Michigan anyway. Like, those kinds of things happen. Sometimes you can put all the money in the world into it and you still lose. So, you know, it's a battle that you have to fight, and you have to do all of these, you have to do things all these different ways. And it's unfortunate. It's going to suck in the future when Texas loses another bright young recruit that everybody was excited about, but it's just going to clear the way for more of them to come in. And then hopefully one hits and you get to see him turn into a Longhorn legend. But you know, it's such a weird place that we're in these days.
It really is. And it also goes to what Texas, it seems as if Texas is looking at this offseason at a bit more of, okay, we have X amount of dollars that we can spend, and we're finding out that a lot of kids we're giving them revenue sharing. We're giving them a lot of money, and they're never going to play for us, because as soon as we take that away, they don't want to, they're not excited. They're not excited about coming out and earning the NIL, even though it's going to be there. Like, it's going to be there. And I'll tell you, this is the thing with, if we want to talk about Bo Barnes and what happened, is Bo Barnes was told he was going to get a lot less revenue sharing, and he walked out of a room and understandably upset if he was not aware of what was coming in the second end of that. And so when they sit down and they go, but you could still make more money this year than you made last year. Because if you're starting for the University of Texas at linebacker, you're going to get some good NIL.
Yeah. I also think that there was a part of that conversation that people haven't talked about as much, which is he wanted to compete for a starting position. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be given the opportunity to compete for a starting position, not guaranteed one, but given an opportunity.
Yes.
And I think that Will Muschamp probably sat him down and was like, look, man, look at the linebackers that I've put in the NFL and the type of talent that we have developed under my tutelage and Johnny Nansen has developed. Look at Anthony Hill. Like, you're going to have that opportunity, and I'm going to utilize you the correct way. And I'm sure that resonated with him a lot, which is why that, you know, I tend to believe that those things are going to work themselves out. You know, hopefully, I don't want to jinx anything, but hopefully that ends up working itself out. But yeah, there's money conversations involved. There's playing time conversations involved. And it's really unfortunate that these coaches have to bust their asses constantly just to get players to come back for another year.
Yeah. And by the way, it also sucks that the teams are doing this. There's four teams still doing it in the playoffs, which is also insane to me. And I'm glad it's not us this year. I'd rather it be us because I'd rather be in the games right now. But it is also awful that there's four teams right now that are like doing that while trying to prepare for the biggest games in the Indiana history, Ole Miss history.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, has Oregon been here before? It's close.
They've played for a national championship before.
No, Oregon, it's close to Oregon. Miami's done it enough. It's not the biggest game in Miami history, but
yeah,
they're the only one that's been there enough and had a run before. So.
See, this is kind of a hot take, and I'm sure that everybody disagrees with me, but it may be a blessing in disguise that Texas didn't make the playoff this year, because now you get an opportunity to really focus instead of pulling double duty and trying to rebuild your roster for next year and prepare for the playoff at the same time. Now you have an opportunity to focus solely on that and really build the roster that you think can win you a national championship in the final year under Arch Manning and really go all in. And people are going to hear me say all in, and they're going to be like, but they haven't signed Cam Coleman, and they didn't sign Jaden Ball. And all this. It's going to work out. I'm still a 10 out of 10.
And I won't say blessing in disguise. I will say definite positive of if you're having to look at the back side of things. I'm with you, though.
Silver lining.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the right word. It's silver lining of things didn't work out the way you wanted, but it does set you in a better place to try and figure out next season. Over on the Tech Zone, Man Chan says, in my humble opinion, would an NIL help with the person's personal brand, be able to market themselves, network, and grow if they do well on and off the field? Just asking. Yes, exactly. That's the plan. We're going to introduce you to all those people. If you ever go to, especially Texas basketball games are easier to see it because there's just less people. Like, and I don't mean that in the stands. I mean, there's less people on the field and there's less people on the court. There's like, it's easier to see. You will see every freshman going over and saying hi to certain people at games. You see all the young guys going over and talking, and the new guys, everybody, as they're trying to ingratiate them. These are the guys you want them to be friends with. And that's what you do your freshman year, is you get introduced to everybody who will then be able to take care of you with NIL. Part of being an NIL, you do a good job in your NIL and actually show up to the things you're supposed to do and be around for that. No matter what happens in the rest of your life, you'll have people in positions of power and financial success that will always have your back. And so it's a really big piece of what Texas can offer, not only the money of NIL, but the network of NIL. And so you want to get players involved in it, but the revenue sharing side of it has just kind of clouded that, because when we started, it was all NIL. And so there wasn't two numbers you were getting thrown at yourself. And yes, it's completely unregulated, really, because there's no punishments for anybody. So I'd say minimum 75% of people are cheating in one way or another, or breaking the rules is maybe a better way to say it, because you just don't even know what the rules really are. You kind of do, but then someone else gets away with it and you go, well, I'm talking to a guy and I know that he has gotten four offers for NIL from coaches. What the hell am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be the moral one and say, guys, we can't discuss that. So like, it is what it is in the landscape of college football. Now you kind of have to do what you have to do. But that's where we get into that. And then we throw in the other factor of this, which is what Texas has been looking at the way they've been doing things and the start coming up at USC with Pete Carroll and that run that Pete Carroll had at USC, and then seeing what happened at Nick Saban and Alabama, that run they had. And the key piece of all of that was depth, because with depth, you can develop. And if you constantly have somebody ready to go, we've seen Saban pull out a star quarterback for another star quarterback multiple times in major games. We have seen all of those things happen in major games. And that was the blueprint. A lot of guys now believe that's no longer the blueprint. And if you've only got X amount of dollars to spend, you should really try and go get the best starters you can for that money. Hence, trying to go get a Cam Coleman for whatever he cost. Let me get the best players at every position. Now, you're not going to be able to do it everywhere because, again, everyone's trying to do this. But instead of keeping some of those guys that normally you would have kept and maybe not gone for the top guy, you would now are trying to flip that around and spend a little bit more of that money on getting as many really influential, experienced players that you feel can help you win a national championship next year. This is very much live by the sword, die by the sword type of action. It's much riskier, but Ole Miss is playing tonight. They did it. That was the Ole Miss way of doing things. And they're in the playoffs. Miami has done this. Miami is playing tonight in a playoff game. Oregon has done this. Oregon is playing tomorrow night in a playoff game. So when you look at that and you go, well, what's working is more upperclassmen, more people with experience playing, and more people that are top-level guys there, and we'll figure out next year. And you try and keep as many pieces as you can in the middle of that, but you understand I can't have both. I can't have the best players starting and depth anymore. That just doesn't – it's not really flying in today's economics.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree that the days of the long dynasties, like – Alabama had, like Georgia had to a certain extent, USC back in the day. I hate saying back in the day because like I was in high school when that was going on, but still, like those days are gone.
Yeah,
those days are absolutely gone, and it's all about going out and finding the best players at every position to the best of your ability, or filling roles that you or holes that you have in your team with the best players that you can find in the portal. I mean. Back when Alabama was in its prime, a five-star edge would go down with an injury, or a five-star linebacker, or a five-star wide receiver, five-star running back. And who was behind him? Another five-star. And who was behind that guy? Another five-star. Like, it was unbelievable. And Alabama was cheating their ass off back in the day in recruiting, just like everybody else was. Yeah,
everybody was.
They were just doing it better than everybody. Now it's...
It was great. So was Mississippi State, and they sucked.
Yeah, it's a much more even playing field now for everybody, which is the one good thing that comes out of this. It creates a little bit more parity across college football. But, you know, the real coaches that become legends after the start of the NIL era are going to be the ones that figured out how to navigate the portal correctly.
Yeah.
And I feel like Sark is doing that so far. He didn't do it well enough last year. I thought he was too conservative last year. It feels like he realized after what happened last year going into this year that he needs to go a little bit more in. And, you know, I think there are going to be pretty good results. Which Oklahoma edge, Randy? I'm having such a hard time keeping up with all this stuff. By the way, ticket prices for the national championship were just posted by Ross Dellinger.
Yeah.
From which one is this from? I think it's from SeatGeek. Doesn't really matter. The one that's listed as an amazing deal on the lower bowl, $11,965 per ticket.
Oh man, look, there's one up in the upper deck that's not even in the shot because it's too far away that it's not even in the picture for this. That's
literally the last row.
Literally the last row. It's only $3,500.
Yeah. Probably not going to Miami, boys.
Man, yeah, that is nuts. That is so much money. I don't know. That's take that money and put it back into NIL. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Spending all that money. Going, I guess the people that spend that money got plenty of it. They can give that money to NIL and do both. I am not of the wealth that I could do either of them. So I don't know.
Troy O'Meary's entering the transfer portal again.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a hair of the dog. I always say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, is the old Al Davis stings. And that is, I mean, it's a thing in sports. And I always talk about this in baseball because baseball is the sport with the most rambunctious and constant cheating out of any sport in the world. It is insane how much people cheat in that sport. And part of that is because even at a very young age, like there's the Little League World Series, they consistently cheat like every two or three years. There's a major scandal, all this stuff. So it's so ridiculous, but it's justifiable cheating. Justifiable cheating is what baseball is built on. Well, the batters are cheating and trying to look at our signals so I can put on some pine tar in the baseball to get better. And the pitcher's using pine tar so we can so we can, you know, goose our bats up a little bit more, and we can take a step in. Oh, and it's just constantly back and forth that it just requires so much more justifiable cheating. If you want to be, if I want to be honest with you, I will tell you there's not a doubt in my mind the Patriots are cheating somehow this season. I don't know how bad it is, but I know a lot of other teams are too. I'm just saying, the track record of the offensive coordinator of that team and his track record when he's cheating versus when he's not in Drake May's season would lead me to believe that something is happening here. But maybe I'm completely off base on that one. We just say track record would let me believe that that was there. And yes, the NCAA still oversee, they just can't do anything. They're a completely impotent organization right now, because everybody, anything happens and they get sued, and they can't afford to keep getting sued. So now they're just trying not to get sued. So once a lawsuit gets presented, they're like, how much is it going to be to fight it versus what's the backlash if we just let this happen? And that is basically what the NCAA has been for the last 10 years, 5 years now, something like that. It's ridiculous. There needs to be another organization to take it over. I know the people who want to take it over will make it much, much worse, because they will have no care for anything in the world other than money. So as much as the NCAA was a borderline criminal syndicate, as my man Rob Babers would always say, and the guy who helped that created the name student athlete said later that that was a horrible thing that should have never been done, that he was like, no, it was completely made up, and it was a way to basically shirk the laws, that antitrust laws and everything else that should have been there. So there is no real good solution anymore, because we don't live in a country with a lot of, you know, people with money who are also nice and just people. Those two things don't really go together anymore. I don't know if they ever did back in the day. I know they don't now. So whatever will take it over will be worse. It'll be different, and it'll be weirder in a way, but more people will get screwed over in the new way. Yet it won't be as crazy as it is in the portal right now.
I keep getting text messages about the game tonight, so I'm getting distracted. I don't know how the NCAA can survive all of this. But I think you're also 100% right. Like, if another organization takes it over, that organization is going to be sold. I mean, the NCAA is kind of all about money. But yeah, Whatever takes that over is going to be well above that in terms of their care for money. And it's going to turn college sports into professional sports like overnight.
We're right on the edge of college sports being professional sports. And the reality is there is no going back. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. And that toothpaste, I mean, they have rolled that toothpaste tube all the way up and done everything else to get all that toothpaste out of it. There's nothing you can do about it anymore. You can't go back and go, okay, guys, well, now we're going to share some of the money, but you guys got to not ask for it, and we'll just tell you what you get. Like, you can't do that. You can't work in the way of what it could have. There are all these solutions. If the NCAA had acted in, I don't even know, 2005, would have been completely fine. And would have got away with basically, you know, being awful people for years and years and exploiting the labor of so many young people. They would have been fine with that. But now we go. Michael, it's because Aggies are spreading rumors. That's as easy as I can tell you.
They also put out rumors that Colin Simmons was at a Texas A&M visit, and that, like, all kinds of stuff. Just, guys, just for your own sake of sanity, probably avoid Twitter for the next like 48 to 72 hours. if you want your news on Texas Longhorn sports, watch Open Gym, listen to Open Gym, or go to Texas Longhorns on a site, because that's a pretty good one too.
There, Texas Longhorns on a site. Get a little plug in there. The rumors, and then we saw, they posted something that the person whose name is in the post has already come out. They're like, this is blatantly fake. So, it's silly. It's rumors spreading rumors. Arch is leaving too. I think Texas is shutting down operations from what I've heard.
They're actually getting rid of the football program altogether. Patrick is what they're doing.
it's that, you know, you gotta find, you know, the Daniel Rossini one was more annoying because you're like, you should be a reputable person, but message boards are not facts. We know that. Message boards are not facts, and they message board things get posted onto X like they're facts, and then no one seems to double check them. So you get into troubles there.
Also, guys, if you are going to be on X, don't get no coast or no threed. Okay, just avoid those. Make sure you're looking at the right accounts, the legitimate accounts. You know, just
always. Yeah, it would be nice if someone didn't buy it and take away the X's from all the people that should have had them, and you know, made it where we could check stuff easily. I remember covering sports at that time, and it was a frustrating few days there where you're like, oh, it's just everyone can do whatever they want now, and we just got to find what's real and not. Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it. Then you go talk to someone, and they go, well, just get off it. And you go, it is the sports app. It's like the app for when you follow sports. Nothing that comes out faster than on there. So if you don't follow there, you're behind. And trust me, I've seen what people post on Facebook, and it's also not
there's wild stuff on Facebook.
Facebook, I've seen some posted stuff like, oh my God. And you just see like a picture too. And you're like, oh my goodness. I don't know who went all this time, but yeah, Matt. So we've still got a couple people in the hopper for Texas that they're still looking at. Do we have anybody on campus right now, Matt?
There is an offensive lineman that was a visit today from Oregon State. Let me get his name real quick because I've already forgotten it. Dylan Sikorsky, 6'4", 332-pound redshirt freshman out of Oregon State. He is known as – here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read you his scouting report because I think that it's going to make people very happy. Should Texas be able to land this guy?
I like the name already. The name already feels like a guy who, you know, just knows how to be a middle America guy who just plays offensive line.
Just a lunch pail, knock you in the face kind of a guy. Yes. Sikorsky is – this is from Brandon Huffman of 24/7 Sports. Sikorsky is a big-bodied offensive lineman who has tackle size and feet, but likely projects inside in college because he's reshaped his body and trimmed down and looks more athletic and is now showing much improved change of direction and ability to get to the second level. He's got tremendous strength, but is showing even better in-game strength now. Once he gets his hands on a defender, that defender is taken out of the play. He uses his size to his advantage and is a terrific run blocker and continues to get better in pass protection as he anchors and gets his lower base set. He is not giving up much ground and keeps his defender at bay. He also plays with a nasty streak and an edge to his game. That sounds like kind of exactly what Texas wants, especially what the fans want in an interior offensive lineman. He played in 10 games last year, started 6. And in pass protection, he allowed just 8 pressures and 1 sack in 444 offensive snaps and 250 pass blocking snaps. He visited Tennessee before he visited Texas, but dude, sign me up for that guy.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, look, Texas needs, you know, we were like, you get like 3 offensive linemen, 2 to 3. I think you're like at 5 now that you need to get just because there's just not any depth now at that position. You definitely need somebody there. You got to bring in some guys. So they still need to bring in some top guys. They need to bring in some guys behind the top guys. They just need a few more people.
There are also reports that Kali Tefai out of Minnesota is in conversations with Texas. I believe they're trying to get him on a visit. And he is a two-way lineman who primarily played as defensive tackle in high school but transitioned to offensive tackle. He was recruited on both sides of the ball, but his upside is more on the offensive line. That's where he'll line up. That's where he is now. He moves well for a big man, looks comfortable on pulls and sweeps, has the physicality and toughness needed to excel in the trenches, can dominate at the point of attack, and is an excellent run blocker, can get to the second level, and will continue to improve as a pass blocker with more reps. If they can get this guy on campus again, 6'5" or something, 340 pounds. Sign me the F up.
Yeah. Hair the dog, do you believe Sikorsky is the sausage king of Chicago? Come on out to Sikorsky's. But a couple more guys out there. We know everyone's still waiting with bated breath in the Cam Coleman sweepstakes as well, because, you know, that one is a splash for whoever gets him, gets to have that really big splash out there. Still looking at some running back names, definitely more in the offensive line. They're going to continue to look there. By the way, whoever loses tonight and tomorrow, people are going to be trying to look and see who's available out of those two teams.
It kind of makes you think that Ole Miss is a little bit ahead of the game, because they've already got Trinidad Chambliss locked down, assuming he gets his waiver. They got Kawan Lacy. They got a bunch of receivers and offensive linemen and defensive backs and like all this stuff that they've just already signed to deals before they played tonight. So
yeah,
I'd love to see that. And I have heard that there is an offensive lineman for Ole Miss who could potentially enter the portal, and it would be a name to watch.
And that's what I'm saying, is you could see that there's going to be more names that get in the portal as it goes on. Some younger guys, some older guys. It's, you know, as numbers get thrown around and what's still out there will get there. Linebacker is still a big piece of the puzzle for Texas. They're still looking for a few names there as well. But we'll keep you up to date in what we're hearing. Matt keeps his ear to the grindstone, and or is it nose to grindstone? I don't know what body part is on it, but it's some body part.
Ear
of
to the ground, I would say.
To the ground. Yeah. He's keeping something. So a specific body part to a piece of another substance. That's all happening. And we'll tell you what's happening here. But we will take our first break here, Matt. We'll come back. I want to get into the game tonight. Ole Miss versus Miami. I want to hear Matt's pitch for what he thinks is going to happen in this game. I trust Matt on this one. I've watched Ole Miss. I've watched Ole Miami. I know Matt has watched Ole Miss more. So we will talk about that in the game. We'll get into some NFL conversation as well, and whatever you guys want to talk about, and we'll see if there's any more breaking news that happens during the show. Who knows? It's happened before, and we'll see if we can get some good luck. Got some positive momentum today. Positive momentum. Zion Williams coming in. Malik Brown, positive momentum. I know, you know, maybe some other names that maybe we're in, maybe our conversation, so we don't know yet, but we'll get into all that and continue on the show here in hour two of Open Gym coming up here after the break. Here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before, give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt, sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop, watch some games with your friends, and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
You see COVID everywhere. That personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
COVID's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the COVID family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
BK here for Olipop. Man, this stuff is the game changer of all game changers. Their slogan is a new kind of soda, and that's exactly what it is. You get that same great soda taste, but Olipop is actually good for you. Inside of every can, a blend of 7 unique botanicals, plant fibers, and prebiotics. You're getting 9 grams of fiber in every can, only 2 to 5 grams of sugar, and man, the flavor is absolutely there. Classic soda flavors like cola, root beer, lemon lime, and Dr. Goodwin. That's their version of a Dr. Pepper, and some other great flavors as well. The grape, the cream soda, the cherry cola. It's all fantastic. I'm telling y'all, Olipop tastes just like the soda you grew up sipping, but with the added benefits of microbiome and digestive health support as well. Pick up Olipop at HEB, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, and Costco all throughout the Austin area and the state of Texas. And head over to drinkolipop.com. Use the promo code TEXAS20 for a discount on your first purchase. It's Olipop, a new kind of soda.